All right. Good morning. This is the season of the birth of Christ. We're going to look at four different scriptures. I hope you have a good Merry Christmas with your families this week. I have four different spots we're going to read for the opening read, so you can follow along or just listen to the recordings. Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley should be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice says, cry out. And I say, what shall I cry? All the people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but because the breath of the Lord blows on them, surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Don't be afraid, says the town of Judah. Here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord, or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all nations are nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name, because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. So why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Turn to Jeremiah 30. Verse 18. This is what the Lord says. I will restore the fortunes of Jacob's tents and have compassion on his dwellings. The city will be rebuilt on her ruins, and the palace will stand in its proper place. From them will come songs of thanksgiving and the sound of rejoicing. I will add to their numbers, and they will not be decreased. I will bring them honor, and they will not be disdained. Their children will be as in days of old, and their community will be established before me. I will punish all who oppress them. Their leader will be one of their own. Their ruler will arise from among them. I will bring him near, and he will come close to me. For who is he who will devote himself to be close to me, declares the Lord? So you will be my people, and I will be your God. Turn to last one, Luke chapter 2. Verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken in the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen. I'll turn it over to Roger for announcements.
Good morning, everyone. Appears I've lost Billy. I was going to say you're looking really good up there, Billy, but you came off the screen. Anyway, this week's we'll have Monday night ministry. Tuesday we do something with the kids, and Wednesday you ladies will not be gathering because that's Christmas Eve. And from what I hear, the first Wednesday of the month is when the ladies usually get together, but the first Wednesday of the month this year is New Year's Day, so that'll probably be postponed to another time. I believe that's it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for this time. Pray that you would give us ears to hear. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning. Good morning. I believe today we're going to hear from those who are in charge of preparing for our Christmas party. But I wanted to read something prior to. We read it on the Sunday of. We read it before that. I'm going to read it one more time. If you want to turn there, we're going to read in Matthew 25. And I'm going to start in verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" Then the king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Now, we read that all the time, and I've talked about it a little bit. The importance of that scripture is they didn't know when they did it, because they were doing simply what they were made to do, right? That's what they were doing. They were being Christ-like. They were putting their hands to the task of things of uncertainty. They were putting their hands to the task of need and necessity, and they didn't do it for a thank you or for a congratulations of "you're such a good person." They did it because that was what was necessary, because what Christ did was likewise. He did what was necessary. He came. He gave his life. He did God's will. And as we in turn do the things that we do, which, you know, having a Christmas party is nowhere near like giving your life, but it's the work, right? It's the task. It's the job. And we put our hands to it because that is what God called us to do, because we never know who we're serving. And in God's eyes, that's when you get it. When you get the fact, when did I do this for you, Father? When you do it for all of those that I've made. That's it. So I just wanted to read that with you guys, and I will turn it over to those who are going to speak about.
Okay. I feel like I'm Bobby. This is Mark. Hi. So Dave asked if we would speak a little bit about the party. And I like what you said, James, because it's not just about a party, and it's definitely more for us than just having a good time with the people from the Elizabeth House and with the body. But when we put our hands to the task and then we see the fruit, there's something really special about that. And we don't always get to see the fruit the seeds that we plant. I was remembering back, to 5 years ago when we had a Christmas party. It was here in this building, and we had just gone through the fires. And we had lost Ron, and we had lost Larry, and my mother wasn't there because she was in the hospital. And we still did the Christmas party, and we had the rescue mission. There was a lot of people coming. And I remember nothing about that party except the walking zombies that I looked around and saw. And I looked at everybody. At one point, I was sitting out there by that fire, and everybody's just doing their part. And we were kind of doing that with on autopilot. That's how it felt. And but we did it. And the people that came didn't know what we'd been through. They may have heard it, but they weren't living it with us. And so they really couldn't understand what we were going through as a body. But what if we had just said, oh, we can't do it this year. We just can't. We don't have it in us, or we just are too spent, you know, there's no way. But we didn't. We put our hands to it, and we still did it, and we blessed those people. And we didn't get to see the fruit. We didn't get to see any of that. But what we did was the obedience that we you know, acted in. I feel like the Lord just blesses that in us. And he let us do that job. He let us still put our hands to that task. And none of us remember that party, pretty much. I don't know if anybody does, but I don't remember much about it at all. It was literally just like walking zombies. That's all I could say. But in that time afterwards, we realized how we can put our hands to the task no matter what we're doing and no matter what we're going through. We can still serve, and we can still lay down our lives for somebody else. And so I say that to just say that this party, all these years, I mean, we've been doing it for probably, I know, way before we were married. So it's 20 years, maybe, we've been doing it. And every year it's very special. And what I want to pray about with the body is having an opportunity more than just Christmas time to minister to the Elizabeth House. It's a very special place. The people that we've connected with there are really gracious. They do amazing work there, and they love us. They love coming here and coming to this party. So I don't know, I just can see us doing things like a Mother's Day thing with the mothers, or just something different. So I would love the body to pray about that and ask the Lord, you know, what could we do that we could not just a Christmas party once a year, but have spend time with them and connect with them more. So Alex is going to show a video of a little bit about the Elizabeth House. It's a brief one.
Before he does that, I just want to jump in and say something real fast. Excuse me. You didn't know, because I've been putting this off, but Bobby asked me to say something this morning, and I shared with her before I got here how all kinds of stuff was going through my head, and I didn't feel like it was anything having pertaining to what we were supposed to talk about this morning. And then Dan taught in Sunday school, and it was exactly what was going through my head. And so the Lord confirmed it for me that you know, I should probably say something about some of the stuff that was going through my head. And some of my earliest recollections of Christmas in my family was going to cut down Christmas trees and coming back to the house, and my mom would have food and music and make this very family-oriented thing, and I always went right to my room. They would decorate the tree. I had no desire to decorate the tree. they would ask me to come out and hang one ornament so that I could participate. I did, and back to the room. I never understood why I could never get into it. And the only thing as an adult, as I reflect back on it, was there was nothing fun about it. It was work. And when you stop and think about what we do now, it's work. Giving to others, putting others first, giving is about work. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. And nobody likes to always work. I mean, we work every day. We have to survive. The last thing you want to do, putting Christmas decorations, lights, making it fun, that's work. Putting on this party for others is work. So I understand now that part of the giving process is work. Most of it is work for somebody. I am a giver. I like to give. I don't like it when people try to give me something. I don't receive well, but that takes the blessing away from somebody else. I was always told, you need to learn how to receive, because then the blessing of giving that somebody else is doing for you, you take that away from them. I get that, but it's not easy for me to do. When I see the kids' faces as I participate in this Christmas party over the last few years, it makes it worth it. These are people that don't have, that aren't as fortunate. And you can say that, but until you live it and until you can see it on the faces of the people that are here, that we're giving to, it makes the work a little bit easier. So that's all I wanted to say.
The last part of that song said, let your kingdom come, let your will be done through us. And I feel like that's how he does it. We are his hands and feet. So thank you guys for all of your hard work and for your prayers. And I do want to say the Elizabeth House is a very special place. And hopefully this year we can spend some time going there too and touring their house, because it's a former parish. And it's big and beautiful. They house 10 moms. That's it. It's very kind of small and intimate. And the moms are there 2 years maximum. So basically it's a transitional housing for them to be able to, come out of poverty, come out. A lot of them are coming from abusive homes. A lot of them are coming from homelessness, and they're transitioning into getting out into the world, having their own place, having their own everything. And they work, the kids go to school, they actually pay a little bit of money to live there. So it helps them feel like they're contributing, like they can be responsible. And it's just a great work that they do there. So I love that we're working with them. I hope we get to continue to work with them. And I wanna read to you the letter that Valerie Taylor, the director, she was here and she wrote this to our church. She says, "Thank you so much, Bobby. Like always, your Crockett Christian Fellowship did an amazing job. Thank you so much for hosting such an amazing Christmas party for our families. It truly meant so much to everyone who attended, especially our new moms. Many of them shared how surprised and touched they were that the toys Santa gave truly matched what their children enjoy. It made the experience feel incredibly personal and thoughtful. From the moment our families arrived, they felt genuinely welcomed. Several moms mentioned how supported they felt, especially with the kind help offered while carrying food to their tables, helping with their little ones, and offering a smile or a warm hug. Those small acts of care made a big difference and did not go unnoticed. Our moms have been through so much, and none are strangers to charity and generosity by outside Good Samaritans. Many see the needs our families have, and they meet them with graciousness, strangers who want to do good deeds for our families. The moms at Elizabeth House appreciate that so much, but there is something really special about the way your church welcomes us in and treats us like we are a part of the family. No other organization has done this for us, and your generosity in giving the children such a magical experience and making their wishes come true is remarkable. We are so blessed that you want us to be a part of your group at Christmas. As always, the food was absolutely amazing and enjoyed by all. And we cannot forget the beautiful decorations that families were able to take home. Such a special touch that allowed the joy of the evening to continue beyond the event. Thank you again for your generosity, your warmth, and your love. You created a truly memorable Christmas experience for our families, and we are deeply grateful. We hope to see you all again soon." Really sweet. Really, really sweet. Mark wanted to share one scripture.
1 John 3:16-18. This is the New Living Translation. "We know what real love is because Jesus laid down his life for us. So we also ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions."
And that's what Right now, I wanted to turn the mic over to Christy and Brian, and hopefully they can unmute. And then Alex has a few pictures from their piece of this season of giving for us through the Esplanade House. And they can tell you a little bit more about that. So, Christy.
Thank you. I've shared this before. This time of year is something that I cherish. Being able to help the Esplanade House like we are is a real cool thing, because it's the same thing as the Elizabeth House. It's families. So husbands, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever it may be, they're transitioning. And so it's always good to help them, just to give to them. I would hope that maybe possibly in the future, we might make it more sentimental, like how you guys have it down there with the Elizabeth House, where we can have them up here and, do a little something for them like that. I think that would be a little bit more, I'm not saying it's not eye-opening for them. I think it would just, I'm not trying to, how do I say this? But I don't know. I just feel like it would be more sentimental, I guess, of a feeling, because those families don't even know what we look like. We just get to deal with the people that work at that organization, and they're super great. And so my future would hope that maybe one time we can, maybe do a party for them and all that too. So
the only thing I wanted to add was, so this year we had 39 families at the Esplanade House, which is a pretty big group. And that worked out to be 92 kids. So we got to shop for 92 kids, and it was awesome that we got wish lists and we were able to get things off their list that they really wanted. And the Esplanade House workers expressed how thankful they were for that. And I think it was great, because you will see, as on the screen, we had a huge group of shoppers to do that. And it really went really well. In the past, we've had limited shoppers, and this year we had like 20 people. I didn't even get pictures of some of them. So sorry, guys. Danny Casey didn't get pictures of you. Roger and Cindy didn't get pictures of you. But we had 20 people shopping. So it was awesome. We got to knock it out quickly and then break bread together. So that's all I wanted to add. Now, Bobby, am I turning it back over to you? Or I think we were going to open up the floor if anybody wanted to share anything about their experience at the party or preparing for the party. If you wanted to share that today, now is the time.
Hey, we had it made known to us through somebody that used to be in the Esplanade House. He's no longer, he transitioned out, but he was telling us that if we didn't do what we did, those people wouldn't get anything at the Esplanade House. That was really cool to hear. Anyway, that's all.
I'd just like to share something real quick. We've been talking for the last few months about, what's the greatest commandment? That's what the Pharisees asked Jesus. And he said, love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, and soul, and love your neighbors as yourself. I'm sharing that because we can teach that a lot, but we got to do that last weekend. And that's what was so wonderful. And Mark, I appreciate you sharing about it, taking effort and work. It does. It takes effort and work, and we got to decide to do something for someone else. Let me read this one other scripture. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So we got to do that. That's really what the Lord says is pure religion. So that's a good thing.
Okay, everyone. We're going to transition to prayer requests now. So we'll allow the folks up north to bring their prayer requests first. Roger, Christy, Brian, take it away.
Just a prayer of thanksgiving for how well the Christmas party went. That's it up here, Zach.
Okay, cool. I wrote that down. Thank you, Roger. If you're on the Zoom screen right now, if you're calling in, if you'd like to bring your prayer request forward, feel free to unmute yourself and go ahead and share it. Okay, that's fine. Let's open it up for everyone down here in the Bay. Prayers for this week. Yeah, Mark. If you guys didn't hear that, Mark reiterates a prayer of thanksgiving for the wonderful time we have the Thanksgiving. I'm sorry, the Christmas party. And another prayer of protection for those who are traveling. Weather's pretty bad right now for the holidays. Thanks, Mark. Anyone else? Dave? Thanks and healing for Billy. Thank you, Dave, for sharing that. Please keep us updated on how she's doing. Yeah, we're going to lift up Patrick and his whole family purchasing a home this week. Lots of different moving pieces for that whole process, so we're going to lift them up. Thanks, Pat. Sure. So Cambria would like a prayer for James, her husband, for his health, and for Skylar, who's moving up to Chico. Lorenzo. Yeah. Lizzie, I brought up a good prayer. We're going to pray for Lorenzo, protection and blessings for him being in service right now and for his whole family. Okay. I think we're ready to go before the Lord in prayer. I do have a scripture I'm going to read at the beginning of the prayer, and then I'm going to say our prayer request for the Lord. So if you guys could all please bow your heads, and let's be reverent for this prayer. This is in number 6, the priestly blessing. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." Heavenly Father, thank you for this Christmas party. Thank you for the many hands that went to the work planning and preparing, and for the hearts that we saw soften during that day. We pray, Father, that our seeds that were planted will continue to grow in your great name. We offer a prayer of thanksgiving, Father, for you and all the heavenly hosts for allowing us to do this. We offer a prayer of protection for those who are traveling. We offer a prayer of protection for Lorenzo, who's in the service, and his whole family. We lift up James, his health, and for Skylar transitioning to move up north. We lift up Patrick and his whole family, Father, and the blessings of purchasing a home. We have all these other prayer requests, Father. Lastly, we'd like to lift up Billy. Thank you for her and the life she's lived, the children she's raised, and we ask for continued mercy for her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters in this body, and I just ask that you bless each and every one of us as we go about our week, Father, and keep in mind that this is about the birth of your Son and the reason why that we are here today. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.